you've got a very stressful life. You have a very stressful life, and it can be very difficult. And sometimes it's contrary. Okay, we got it. Sometimes it's contrary to you having peace. And sometimes you just long to have some peace in your life. Like I said, Christy has wrote a wonderful segue into my sermon about the peace of God this morning that I want to read to you, and it relates to a mother's life. It's the stuff great commercials and sitcoms are made of. A hectic morning with everyone scrambling for breakfast and prepping for the day. A loud car ride with kids all trying to talk at once. It's time to go to the dentist, and all of little Susie's shoes have gone missing except for the one the dog chewed the straps off of. At bedtime, the one teddy bear that little Davy can't sleep without cannot be found. Juggling homework and dinner and laundry and ministering to your families, parents included, and others in your church and community, in addition to being your husband's wife and helper, that can really make a woman say, "Calgon, take me away." Well, ladies, let me be the first to say, you all deserve a bubble bath. While the effects of relaxing in the tub may bring a sense of peace and tranquility, it is only temporary. The kind of peace that God offers us can be found even in the middle of a mad scramble to find matching socks or the missing car keys when you were supposed to be someplace 2 minutes ago. And that is the truth. There is a peace that comes from God that can help us even when we are living in hectic times. Even when the overwhelming circumstances of motherhood grip a hold of us and it seems like things are not going the way they should for us, we can still have God's peace. Have you ever had a time in your life when you had no peace in your heart? When life became so overwhelming that you just had nothing but anxiety and despair in your heart? Many people can feel this way. Even the most unlikely of people can feel this way. Charles Spurgeon writes of this story. In 1835, a man visited a doctor in Florence, Italy. He was filled with anxiety and exhausted from a lack of sleep. He couldn't eat, and he avoided his friends. The doctor examined him and found that he was in prime physical condition. Concluding that his patient needed to have a good time, the physician told him about a circus in town and its star performer, a clown named Grimaldi. Night after night, he had made the people rolling, had the people rolling in the aisles. "You must go see him," the doctor advised. "Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh and cure your sadness." "No," replied the despairing man. "He can't help me. You see, I am Grimaldi." There are dungeons beneath the castle of despair, goes on to say Charles Spurgeon. And you know what? Even Charles Spurgeon, who is referred to as the Prince of Preachers, experienced great times of anxiety and despair in his own life. So it is a matter of understanding that these times can and will come in our lives. What do we do when those times come is what is vital to us. What do we do when we experience these times of anxiety and despair? Well, I believe we need to go to God's Word. And I believe this passage in particular helps us understand what to do when we're feeling that anxiety and despair in our lives. When nothing seems to be going right with our kids. When it feels like the family is in chaos. These are the times when we need to experience the peace of God. And when we can go to His Word and do just that. When anxiety and despair reign in our hearts, we need to find ways to get the peace of God to rule in our hearts. I believe this passage gives us three ways that we can use to accomplish this task. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. First of all, we can have the peace of God by being grateful for the blessing of unity with other believers. Look at verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And be thankful." Now, the author here, Paul, the apostle, puts the peace of God in our unity with other believers together for a reason. You see, it's because when we are unified with other believers, when we are working with them, when we are exhorting one another, when we are worshiping with one another, it helps us have the peace of God in our hearts. It is a blessing to be a part of the body of Christ. It is a blessing to be in unity with other believers. And it helps us understand the peace of God and allows the peace of God to rule in our hearts. We are reminded here that we are called into one body. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are all part of His body. Being part of the body of Christ brings blessings that we should be thankful for. Of course, the main one and the first one that should come to our minds is the blessing that comes through our salvation in Jesus Christ. You see, we are blessed, and nothing should give us more peace in our hearts than knowing we are forgiven by Jesus Christ of our sins and we have eternal life as our possession. What can we not face with a wonderful peace in our hearts when we know that it's all going to work out, that in the end we are going to have eternal life? That is a wonderful blessing. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins and your eternal life, it brings great peace to our hearts. And we should understand that. We should recognize that blessing, because that blessing right there puts us in a family. It puts us in a body. A body of Christ. And that body, when we're unified with other believers in that body, it brings great blessings. And one of those blessings is the peace of God. You can have peace from God knowing you don't have to endure this life on your own. Please understand that God doesn't want you to face your trials, the things that bring you anxiety and despair, alone. Oftentimes, the devil tries to use those very things to separate us from the body of Christ. He tries to say, "You're in too much turmoil to be in church. You're in too much turmoil to be around people." But those are the very times that you need to make sure you are around God's people. Because being around God's people will help you with that despair, with those things that are giving you anxiety. He wants to give you peace. And one of the ways He gives it to you is you being around other believers. You being united with other believers. You worshiping with other believers. This is what helps us. This is what brings the peace of God. And so it's important. As a matter of fact, you can't live this life with the peace of God in your heart unless you experience the blessing of unity with other believers. Let me say that again, because that's important. You can't live this life with the peace of God in your heart unless you experience the blessing of unity with other believers. Men often talk about their glory years in high school, says A.C. Green, an NBA player. At Benson High School in Portland, Oregon, he says, "I was a sports-minded, egotistical maniac. I was the tallest guy on the team and could have broken scoring records. But Coach Gray wouldn't let me. Even with the brakes on, twice that year I scored 39 points. And in the season finale against Wilson, I scored 40. I averaged 27 points per game. As a team, we scored more than 100 points in 7 games and averaged over 90. I was voted the Oregon's 1981 All-Metro Player of the Year. The coach wouldn't allow Green to be a hot shot scorer, however, because he was more interested in the final stat, becoming number one in basketball in the state. He knew the only way the players could reach the championship level was for them to become team players. In basketball and in life, everyone starts out with a what's in it for me attitude," Green says. "The natural selfishness has to be broken to be a winner. You have to realize you can't do it by yourself. You need the team. Coach Gray made me pass the ball and play unselfishly. Regardless of individual stats, we, the team, reached the top. We went all the way." You see, we, in order to be winners, winners with the peace of God in our hearts, are those who have learned how to work in unity with other believers and be grateful for the blessings that come from it. This is what fills our heart with peace, knowing that we are able to work with other believers and have a unity with them. It's wonderful to see that. I am so grateful for this church for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that we work together so well, and that was illustrated once again this week. I was so thankful for those who just jumped right in this week and worked together. We all started doing certain things and working together. And as we did it, I saw people fellowshipping together and just getting along. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to see. And it's a wonderful blessing to be able to be around other believers and to be able to work with them. And you know what? That brings great peace. It really does. It brings great peace to our hearts when we're able to work together with other believers. You know, it's a blessing to be around other believers, especially when you're in anxiety and despair. I'll never forget, I was building my house when we first got here to Rhode Island, and I was overwhelmed by the task. It's a big task. And I had all the heating and air conditioning stuff delivered, and it was sitting there in a pile at the house, the furnace, the condenser unit, all the vents, all the registers, and all that's just sitting there. And I realized all the other stuff I had to do to get the house done. And I was like, I broke down. I was crying. I was like, "Lord, I don't know. How am I going to do all this? How am I going to do all this and get this house done? Because, you know, we're living in my parents' house basement, and my wife's crying every day. You know, I'm crying. She's crying. We're all crying. It's a stressful time." And the Lord said, call Roger Bevins. Now, Roger Bevins is this wonderful man. He's a godly man. He's a pastor in Virginia. But he also happens to be an HVAC guy. And I called him up. I just said, Brother Roger, I don't know what to do here. I got this heating and air conditioning unit, which, by the way, was donated by another believer knew me. And it was just a wonderful blessing, but I was overwhelmed by the task. And he goes, so what's up? Tell me what's going on. I said, well, I got this to do. I got this to do. And I just don't know what to do with this heating and air conditioning unit. He says, I'll be there in a couple days. He came up from Virginia with another guy and installed the whole heating and air conditioning system for us. I went to take him out to eat because I was so appreciative of him putting that thing in and saving me all this time and the money that it would have cost me to have someone do it. He wouldn't even let me pay for dinner. As much, I begged him. I tried to rip it out of his, you know, how you're fighting over the check. He said, no, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I want to be a blessing to you guys. But let me tell you what the biggest blessing was. Even bigger than him putting that heating and air conditioning system in. He said to me, he said, Bill, I want you to know something. You don't have to worry about anything. Just pray about everything. Don't worry about anything and pray about everything. And you know what? That blessed me so much that he would say that. And it was that one blessing that I'm still thinking about today. And that was 15, 16 years ago. That's the kind of blessings we get when we're unified with other believers. That is what I'm talking about. And we are so blessed, and we should be grateful when we are unified with other believers, because when the anxiety and the despair and those overwhelming circumstances come in our lives, it may just be an encouraging word or deed from a fellow believer that gets us through and gives us the peace of God. That is what we need to understand. This church and the blessings you experience in this church are the result of being unified with other believers. When we experience anxiety and despair, let's remember we are not in this life by ourselves. That we can be unified with other believers and receive encouragement and the peace of God through our relationship with other believers. You may ask yourself, how has God designed this to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the next verse shows us that. Look at verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, when we can have the peace of God, we can have the peace of God by encouraging one another in the wisdom of the Scriptures. There is a key element that has to be continually present in our lives in order for us to have the peace of God. We need the wisdom of God that comes from the Bible. We need the wisdom of God that comes from the Bible. The wisdom that comes from the Bible is medicine to our hurting souls. So if you can think about your soul, and when it's anxious and in despair, it's sick. This is the medicine. This is the medicine for your soul. Now, there are different ways that medicine is administered. The wisdom of God is administered in different ways. Like medicine, there are different ways for wisdom to be administered. Reading the Bible and listening to biblical preaching are two ways that wisdom can be administered to you. God gives us another method that can be very effective in administering the wisdom we need to have peace in our hearts. And it is found in this verse. Encouragement from other believers through song. Encouragement from other believers through song. When believers with the grace of God in their hearts teach and admonish one another in song, it can be very encouraging and very effective in admonishing and administering the wisdom of God that we need to have peace in our hearts. Now, I want us to notice the criteria for this type of administration. First of all, the song should be teaching and admonishing. Okay? So they need to be songs that actually feed us the Word of God and the wisdom of God. They can't just be shallow, fleshly songs. You know those 7-11 songs? Seven words you sing 11 times in a row? You know, it can't be that. It should be something that actually enriches our soul. It should be songs that feed us the wisdom and Word of God. Songs must teach us and encourage us in the Word and wisdom of God. Second, there are three types of songs listed that are effective. One is Psalms. So Psalms are God's Word in songs. You'll notice in our services that Christy and others have put together songs with Bible verses in them. And they're wonderful songs, and we integrate these songs into our services because we believe that type of song, a psalm, is very enriching to our souls and a great way to feed us the peace of God. Not only that, hymns, songs like Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus. These songs are wonderful hymns that help us know about God and know about the blessings that come from God and thereby give us peace. And then spiritual songs. Spiritual songs like some of the ones we sang this morning, like I Hunger and Thirst for You or Refiner's Fire. Songs that talk about our relationship with God. And so all three types of these songs are implemented in our church services. You will notice that Christy and others have carefully put together these three types of songs because these are the kind of songs that administer the Word and wisdom of God that we need to have the peace of God. And when we sing these kinds of songs together, it really brings the peace of God in our hearts. That's exactly what this scripture says. So when we sing these three types of songs together, it is a great blessing to us because it brings the peace of God. So this also refers back to what we were saying before. When we're unified as a body, right? When we're part of this body of Christ, it brings blessings from the peace of God, not only from the people, but also from the songs that we sing together. You know, this week we were doing our, Christy and I were doing our Job Corps Bible study with the Job Corps students. And one particular girl is having a lot of trouble with anxiety. And we got to talking to her about her life and things like that. And we came to a passage, Philippians chapter 4, which talks about, you know, not worrying about anything. But in that passage, it also talks about what to dwell on. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever good things are of good report. Dwell on those things. And so we were talking about that, and I just happened to mention, you know, don't let things feed your mind that aren't good and lovely. And she said, what? And I said, you know, things like bad music and stuff like that. She was like, oh, music? She's like, wait a minute. I listen to trap music. I was like, trap music? You mean rap music? No. Trap music. I never heard of trap music. But I said, well, tell me something about it. The other kids in the around the table are like, oh, you could tell. Trap music is not good, lovely, virtuous. Nothing about it is good. Okay? Apparently, trap music, it was named after coming out of like crack houses or drug houses. Okay? That's the kind of music it comes from. And after we talked a little bit, I found out, you know, it degrades women. It's just terrible stuff, okay? It's awful, awful stuff. So we were like, you got to stop listening to that stuff. You can't be listening to that kind of music. No wonder you experience all this anxiety. You've got this terrible stuff, you know, infiltrating your mind and filling it with all kinds of chaos and terrible thoughts. Of course you're going to have anxiety with that. Music is a powerful thing. And that's why God's word instructs us on what kind of music we need to be dwelling on here. It's this kind of music that will bring peace to our hearts. That kind of music is going to do the opposite, obviously. And she was a great example of that. So she was very happy for that encouragement. She had just accepted Christ as her Savior a few weeks ago. And she was like, oh, okay. And then we started telling her, you know, some music to start listening to. She wrote it all down. And, you know, these kids today, they can get on their phones and they can download everything immediately. So she was, you know, able to get new music, get rid of the bad junk, put some good stuff in there, okay? Because believe me, folks, when you are facing extremely difficult times, you need every weapon at your disposal. And one of those weapons is hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. When you can sing these in your heart during those stressful times, it will bring peace from God. Paul and Silas are an excellent example of that. Talk about stressful times. Imagine getting whipped so bad that it leaves stripes on your back, many stripes. And I'm talking about ripping open your flesh so you've got permanent scars after they heal up. And then you're thrown into the deepest, nastiest dungeon you can ever imagine. And I'm talking nasty. And you're locked in there indefinitely. It's not like you've gotten a certain term or you've even had a good trial or been able to have a lawyer to talk to. No, you're thrown in there, and there is no hope of you coming out. What do Paul and Silas start doing in that stressful situation? They start singing. They start singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you know what? They had peace in their hearts in that situation. And think about the witness they were. We know that the Philippian jailer heard them, and later on he accepted Jesus as his Savior because he saw the peace of God that ruled in the hearts of Paul and Silas even in the midst of the worst situation. So you will gain wisdom and peace from God when you are involved in encouraging others in song. That's why we come together. When we come together, we sing together, because it's part of God's way of helping us and encouraging us. Now, finally, we can have the peace of God by being grateful to have Jesus as the purpose for our actions. We can have the peace of God by being grateful to have Jesus as the purpose for our actions. Notice verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We are told in this verse to make the Lord Jesus the purpose for all of our actions. When we do this, it can bring great peace to our lives. Why? Because it invokes the promises of God. And we've been talking about the promises of God. One of those promises is Proverbs 3:6. It says that God will guide you when you make Jesus the purpose for your actions. He will guide you. It's wonderful to know that God is guiding your life, because in that guidance, you know it's all going to work out for his good, for our good and his glory. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Matthew 6 verses 30 through 34 tell us that God will provide for us when we make Jesus the purpose of our actions. I love this wonderful passage. Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." You see, worry is defeated when you're doing and seeking God's will. When you have the purpose of Jesus Christ ruling your life, you will have nothing to worry about. You will have nothing to worry about, and the peace of God can rule in your heart. It also makes us feel like our life matters, no matter what we are doing. And moms in particular, I'm sure as you're changing diapers and cleaning up the house for the fourth time that day, and you've done laundry all day, and there's still baskets of it, full baskets of it still, and you're wondering if it's ever going to end, I want you to know something. That your life matters. Your life has purpose. Because what you're doing is God's will for your life. God loves it when we seek his will for our lives and we do it for him. We live our lives for him. And so your life does matter. And it matters to God. And he will bless you with his peace if you will remember to seek him first. So let's be grateful we have Jesus to live for and not just our own selfishness. God's peace will rule in our hearts as we are grateful for the unity we have with other believers, the encouragement and wisdom we receive through song, and the purpose we have through Jesus Christ.